Welcome to The Greek Current, a podcast by Halk and Kathimerini. I'm your host, Thanos Davelis. Last week, the EU finalized a natural gas agreement with Israel and Egypt, building on what's been a busy month when it comes to energy in the Eastern Mediterranean. Agreements like this further showcase how the region can be a game changer in reducing the dependence of America's European allies on Russian energy. At the same time, however, we're seeing state and non-state actors in the region, from Turkey to Hezbollah, escalate tensions, putting these developments at risk. Jonathan Rue, the Director of Foreign Policy at the Jewish Institute for National Security of America, JINSA, joins me to break down these recent developments and argue that it's time for the United States to reverse its hands-off approach to the Eastern Mediterranean. Jonathan, it's great to have you on our program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jonathan, how significant are recent moves like this EU natural gas agreement with Israel and Egypt, especially as Europe looks to break its dependence on Russian gas?
That's a question that gets to the heart of the matter here. And I think it's not an understatement to say that this is incredibly important for a couple reasons. First, since the Russian invasion of Ukraine and European Union's very rapid pivot to reducing its dependence on Russian energy, both in the near term by the end of this year, but also to hopefully completely eliminate their dependence on Russian oil and gas imports by the end of the decade, I think that signals a couple of things. One is there's both a short-term imperative to boost alternative natural gas imports and find alternative sources of fuel. So I'll get to that. But more broadly, I think it gets to the point that both Europe and the United States, which has a shared interest in helping Europe reduce its dependence on Russian energy, have sort of been behind the curve or behind the eight ball or whatever metaphor you choose for a long time. And so the about face that we've seen from Europe in recent months is long overdue. And so the sense of urgency that I think you see behind these deals between the EU and Israel and Egypt signal a much needed sense of urgency. I think it's not a project or an agreement that will bear fruit tomorrow, but it signals that Europe is finally getting serious about kicking its dependence on Russian energy. And so the next step that is hopefully coming is for the United States to bolster and back its European allies' newfound sense of urgency in getting away from Russian oil and gas.
As East Med countries accelerate their cooperation, we've been seeing state and non-state actors in the region, from Turkey to Hezbollah, escalate tensions. Are you worried these tensions could not just put key energy projects in jeopardy, but evolve into conflict?
Certainly, yes. You listed two of the sort of most pressing issues here, not the only ones, but in terms of Hezbollah, that's in the context of an Israeli-Lebanon dispute over their maritime boundary, because depending on how you split the wedge on a map that is the disputed territory offshore between those two countries, you could end up having a large impact on which country is able to develop those resources. And we've seen recently Israel has begun drilling a new natural gas site on its side of the line. Hezbollah has said it's in the disputed zone, which is not true. But I think the larger, more important point here is sort of what my organization, JINSA, has been recommending is the U.S. needs to show up. And they have shown up, sending American diplomats to try to resolve the Israel-Lebanon gas dispute. So I think that's an important first step. If you look at the way Turkey is behaving, I think that's a much larger problem set. Obviously, the key flashpoint there could be between Turkey and Greece, given Turkey's bellicose rhetoric and continual illegal overflights of Greek islands and airspace in the Aegean, which points again to a larger problem that we saw almost flare up two summers ago in the East Med, which is while America's partners in the region, chiefly Greece, Cyprus, Israel, and Egypt, have done things the right way by demarcating potentially contested maritime boundaries, which is very important given all the offshore natural gas that lies in the Eastern Mediterranean, those countries have done it the right way. And Turkey has done it the exact opposite, which is to claim vast swaths of the Eastern Mediterranean as its own blue homeland, as they call it. And in addition to making these claims, Turkey has tried to back them up by sending ships to drill for natural gas in Greek and Cypriot waters, and also sent its warships to accompany them. And 2 years ago, this almost led to a direct shooting match between Turkey and Greece in the East Med. So I worry that Turkey's escalating rhetoric about the Aegean now and their threats to again send drill ships into this area, I think that's the key flashpoint to look for in the East Med in the foreseeable future.
Do you think that this tension between Turkey and Greece and Turkey's bellicose rhetoric against Athens is particularly concerning, especially now that Greece has been positioning itself to be this energy transit hub?
Yes, exactly. And I think the more you've seen Greece position itself as a reliable and law-abiding player in all of this to become this hub that we talk about in our work, the closer Greece has come to actualizing that, and the closer Greece has come to its partners that I mentioned in the region, the more Turkey has stepped up its efforts to obstruct this. And I think a key point here is on the eve of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the Biden administration withdrew its support for the East Med pipeline, which would connect Israel and or Cyprus with Greece and then the rest of the EU to deliver natural gas. While the U.S. withdrawal of support doesn't kill the pipeline, what it did do was sort of give heart and encouragement to Turkey to say, okay, now this positions us to be the hub in the region and basically rewards Erdogan and Turkish nationalists for all of the obstruction that they've carried out in the region that I mentioned previously. So I think, that's a key challenge that's going to accompany all these opportunities that I mentioned about Greece becoming a hub, especially at Alexandroupoli. So I think that's something where, again, the United States needs to show up in the region. As much as Greece has been consistent in its willingness to sit down and talk with Turkey to try to mediate these disputes that are all Turkish driven, you really need, I think, a larger, more concerted and consistent U.S. diplomatic presence in the region, which is in America's self-interest because Greece has this potential, as you mentioned, to really become an energy hub and really help the European Union achieve its both shorter and especially longer term goals to reduce its dependence on Russian energy imports.
Speaking of U.S. engagement, Amos Hochstein, a senior advisor on energy security at the U.S. State Department, recently traveled to Beirut in an attempt to ease tensions between Lebanon and Israel over the maritime boundaries that you brought up earlier. How important is resolving this when it comes to further unlocking the East Med's energy potential?
That's a great question. And I think the Israel-Lebanon dispute, at least here in the United States, is often overlooked and as part of a larger sort of overlooking of the East Mediterranean as a whole. I think on several levels, resolving this dispute between Israel and Lebanon could accomplish several things. First, Lebanon is a fragile state heading toward collapse, which would be calamitous for obviously Lebanon, but the broader Middle East. So resolving this maritime boundary dispute would then encourage companies to come in and drill in Lebanon's exclusive economic zone and give Lebanon much needed energy revenues to begin redressing a lot of the socioeconomic and larger problems that confront that country. Additionally, anything that encourages the region to bring more natural gas supplies online, such as the peaceful resolution of this dispute, is all for the better, whether it's Israel, Lebanon, Cyprus, Egypt. But additionally, and the larger point is, there's a saying here in America that 90% of success is showing up, and the United States is doing that in Lebanon. And if it could play a key role in helping resolve this dispute peacefully, I think that could be a sort of larger model or a key first step toward unlocking the region's larger energy potential peacefully and creating a model and a precedent for the way things have been done by, again, America's allies like Greece and Israel.
What steps would you like to see Washington take to reverse what's essentially a hands-off approach to the Eastern Mediterranean?
So my organization has sort of called it an all-of-the-above approach. As I mentioned at the outset, the sheer scale of the energy pivot that Europe is going to try to make away from Russian energy and eventually toward renewables, natural gas is a key and necessary part of that. And so what the United States needs to do is, rather than signal that it doesn't view natural gas as a viable energy source because it wants to go straight to more renewable sources, it should adopt what Europe has essentially adopted, which is natural gas will be a bridge toward a more renewable future. And we're already seeing the negative effects of withdrawing support for these natural gas projects, because now that Europe is trying to bunker all its natural gas for the upcoming winter, especially with the fear of Russian cutoffs during the winter months when natural gas is most important, I think what you're seeing now is Europe is having to pivot toward coal, which is a step in the opposite and the wrong direction. So that's a long way of saying the United States needs to sort of throw everything it has diplomatically at the problem. And so, as I mentioned, on a basic level, that means showing up in several different forms. One thing the administration should do is appoint a special envoy for the Eastern Mediterranean to address both the challenges and opportunities I've laid out. And this is very important because it would send a signal to the region that the United States cares about the region and it matters both for regional stability in the East Med itself, but also for achieving stability in Europe more broadly and weaning it off of Russian energy. So that means appointing a special envoy for the region, which sends a signal that the Biden administration cares, just like it's done on Iran, on Yemen, and on climate change. And then this special envoy could play a more active role in the regional forums that are the vehicles for cooperation among our allies, which is exactly what the United States asks its allies to do, which is to take up more of the burdens for regional security around the world. So getting more involved in the East Med Gas Forum, I think, is a great opportunity for the United States. A special envoy would be well-suited to do that. Also supporting and taking a more active role in Greece's and Cyprus's trilaterals with Israel and Egypt. We have an official 3+1 format with Israel. The United States should be more regularly involved in that. Again, a special envoy would be great for that. And then, you know, perhaps separately, but perhaps under the role of a special envoy, really finding ways to encourage Greece's development as this energy transit hub, especially Alexandroupoli, where the United States is involved in helping develop energy capacity at the port, but also encouraging the network of pipelines that will spread out throughout the Balkans and potentially Italy and the broader EU. The United States has played a limited but important role thus far in encouraging that, but there's a lot more they can do to encourage expanded pipeline capacity, expanded port capacity, which would help wean the Balkans especially, which really depend on Russian natural gas, wean them off of that energy, reduce Russia's ability to use that as a weapon for leverage in the region, and position Greece as a sort of reliable bulwark on NATO's southeastern flank, which used to be held by Turkey, but clearly is no longer.
Jonathan, thanks for joining us on The Greek Current. It's great speaking with you.
Thank you so much. Efaristo.
In other news, EU leaders failed on Thursday to overcome Bulgaria's objection to North Macedonia joining the bloc, leaving several Western Balkan leaders fuming at how the entire region's EU aspirations have been stymied as a result. What is happening now is a serious problem and a serious blow to the credibility of the EU, said North Macedonia's prime minister. The collapse of the Bulgarian government on Wednesday also meant there was no possibility of a breakthrough. Outgoing Bulgarian Prime Minister Kirill Petkov said he would leave the responsibility to the Bulgarian parliament to take the process forward. The Western Balkans' EU prospects have re-entered the spotlight amid Russia's war in Ukraine, which has prompted Kyiv, as well as Moldova and Georgia, to apply for EU membership. Finally, Greek Defense Minister Nikos Panagiotopoulos presented an armament program to Parliament on Wednesday that included a fund of 190 million euros for the upgrade and expansion of the naval base at Souda Bay on Crete. The aim is to gradually transform the port into a permanent base for part of the Hellenic Navy in order to facilitate faster and more direct access to the Eastern Mediterranean. The fund for Souda is part of a series of very important programs and sub-programs that seek to strengthen the deterrent capabilities of the Hellenic Armed Forces to the tune of approximately 800 million euros. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.